This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. If a court clears you of a crime for which you served time, what does the state owe you for those years you spent in prison? Yesterday, Robert reported on the first part of the story of Larry Peterson. Peterson served almost 18 years for murder and rape. He had been convicted in 1989, in the days before DNA testing. When the physical evidence against him was finally tested, it showed the DNA was not his. Peterson's conviction was thrown out, but the prosecutor intended to retry him, this time without physical evidence. Even so, in August 2005, Peterson was out on bail.
This is a day that I'm just rejoiceful to be out here. I'm happy to be out. You know, what's behind is behind. What I'm striving to achieve now is all in the future.
Today, Robert reports on what happened next.
For 9 long months, Larry Peterson was free on bail, awaiting a second trial for the very crime he had been convicted of in 1989. Then, the charges were dropped. In June 2006, he was a free man in the eyes of the law, and he sat down with me in a park near his mother's house in Pemberton, New Jersey.
Long time no see.
Yeah. Well, how you been?
Take it one day at a time. Everything is moving too slow for me, though.
I bet.
Just a month earlier, the county prosecutor had announced that he would no longer retry Peterson, so this should have been a time of triumph. It wasn't.
Every day I wake up is a challenge. You go to work, you come home. You try to put your life in order, and it's always something above you, you know. See, like, New Jersey, I just can't get rid of New Jersey. New Jersey have a stench on me that I hate New Jersey.
We're all right over there?
Peterson was working construction for a company owned by members of his mother's church. He was already in his mid-50s. After 18 years in prison, the weight on his 6-foot frame fluctuated around 250 pounds. He had gone in skinny. The afro he had sported as a wild-living, hard-drinking, drug-taking 30-something was making a modest comeback. On a hot June day, rehabbing a small house, he was drenched with sweat.
Today is one of them days that I'd be glad when the day ends.
What's the job here at this house?
Oh, we on the building, the foundation to it, and it's going to be rebuilt. The whole front is going to be tore out, expanded to about 10, 15 feet forward. So most of it we got to do by hand because we broke the backhoe.
This wasn't the kind of work he had had in mind when he was back in Trenton State Prison, dreaming of his freedom. He had dreamt of getting into chicken farming. A farm, of course, would cost money. But Peterson figured he deserved compensation from the state of New Jersey for 17 years and 11 months in prison for a crime that he had been cleared of.
I don't think I could ask for too much. When you took my prime away from me, from 36 all the way almost to 56, please, could I ask for too much? I don't think so. My children are grown. No chance of putting a marriage back together. I have to come out here and play catch-up out here in this world with all the modern technology. I'm lost when it comes to jobs today. You walk in, you use a computer to place an application. All of these things I have to learn. Is it my fault? I don't think so. A lot of things was not out here when I was out here before. And you just took life away from me like this, and now you want to just turn your head and say, well, oh yeah, we did it. It's over. No, it's not over. Not by long shot, it's not over. Nobody has said anything about compensation. Nobody has said, well, how are you doing?
The crime that Larry Peterson was convicted of was the 1987 murder of Jacqueline Harrison. It was a horribly violent crime. She'd been raped, violated with a stick, and strangled. By the standards of 1980s forensic science, the physical evidence had seemed plausible. There were bits of hair found on Harrison's body that the crime lab said were like his. Years later, DNA testing showed they were not his hair. They were bits of Jacqueline Harrison's hair. That's how Peterson's conviction was thrown out. A second trial would have depended entirely on witnesses, witnesses who said that Peterson had described committing the crime. Burlington County Prosecutor Robert Bernardi said he still had a case.
Have we spoken to the witnesses?
Recently.
Yes.
Are they all willing to testify again?
I'm not going to comment on willingness or unwillingness. We've spoken to them.
At Peterson's 1989 trial, his friend Robert Elder said the two of them hitched a ride together just a few hours after the murder. He said that in the car, Peterson talked about raping a woman, assaulting her with a stick, choking her. Two men in the front seat of the car testified to overhearing some of that conversation. When I first met Peterson, when he was still in Trenton State Prison serving a 40-year sentence, he told me what he recalled of that ride to work with Robert Elder.
Elder said, "Hey, I got some beer, man." I said, "Yo, give me one." When we reached my destination, they said, "Hey, man, I'll see you later." "Yo, right. Okay, bye." That was the most of the conversation.
That actually was a conversation in a car hitchhiking with Mr. Elder and the others?
That was it. He had a beer. I accepted. Got to our destination. See you later. That was it. That was the extent of that conversation.
Boy, after we hear three witnesses talk about it, you're confessing to being Jack the Ripper on that ride.
Of course, but you have three witnesses that lied with the coaching of the prosecutor.
That's what you figure happened during that,
yes.
During that time. Now, you might say to that, prisons are full of men who claim they were framed, and in fact the prosecution stood by the veracity of its witnesses. At least they did until April 2006, when Robert Elder dropped a bombshell. He recanted. The story that he'd sworn to, the story that had sent his friend to prison, he now said he had made it up to satisfy the detectives who questioned him.
They were saying that, Larry Peterson can say that it was you. Okay, this is the exact words they were saying. You know, he can turn this around on you. I mean, I'm like, whoa. You know, that... Right there, I knew. I was scared. I was like, well, let me get with these guys, what they want. You know, I'll make up a story or something. I just wanted to be free.
Robert Elder, a chronic drunk and drug abuser who had spent years in and out of the county jail, talked to me in his lawyer's office. He now claimed that back in 1987, he had fabricated the story to get out of an interrogation that ran over 3 days.
I was really tired, like nodding out. And then they try to give me coffee, more coffee, more coffee.
So you had never heard from Larry Peterson in the car ride about his stick?
No, no.
But you heard about it from the police?
I heard it from the police, yes.
Not directly, he says. Elder claims the police described the crime just outside the interrogation room. He says they left the door open and he could hear them. When they came back, he says, he repeated their words back to them and threw in some fictitious details of his own.
They'll come in and say, well, did Peterson say anything about a stick? They say, where he put the stick, how he put the stick. And it's like, you know, you hear certain things in the background.
And the same goes for the detail about how he performs oral sex on the
oral
woman.
Oral sex.
That comes from the detectives also? They give you that idea?
Yeah.
And that he holds her up like she's a butterfly in his hand? That comes from them?
I put that.
You made that one up.
I made
yourself.
That up. Yeah.
You just figured I should tell a good story.
Just tell a good story.
But if Peterson had never had the DNA test, if he'd never had the proof that that wasn't his semen, it wasn't his blood, it wasn't any of his bodily tissue on Jackie, you, even though you knew your story wasn't true, you would have stood by it. You wouldn't have said, I told a lie.
I'm like, you know, my hands are tied. I have no choice but to live with it. And I'm a true believer of the Lord, and I said, well, if
you think God wanted you to lie on the witness stand and make up a story?
No. By telling a lie, I mean, you know, times when they say you're on a white line, whatever. Yeah. I felt real bad by telling a white line. But a person, if you saw something, I feel you should come out and say something about it.
And you know? Thought he saw something.
Yeah, I thought he saw something. Yes.
But he didn't tell you that he'd seen something.
No.
Robert Elder's lawyer had negotiated his immunity from perjury charges, and Elder had told all this to the prosecution. Their case against Peterson was finished. So, on May 26th of last year, the county prosecutor issued a statement that he would no longer prosecute Larry Peterson. Reporters called Peterson's lawyer, Vanessa Potkin, and she called Peterson.
She called and she said, "I got some good news for you." And she said they're not going to retry the case. I said, "Okay, I'll call you back in a minute." I wept uncontrollably. And at the minute that I began to weep, it seemed like the skies just opened up and rained so hard. And that day, the prosecutor's office did something that was right. Not to retry this case. And I think it's the only thing they have done right. It's not to retry this case.
The prosecutor's office notified the victim's family directly. For the Harrisons, what had been the truth ever since 1987 was now being denied, but it was still true. For Jacqueline Harrison's sister Patricia, the news reopened agonizing old wounds.
It all comes flooding back. First, you find closure, and you let her rest. You know, she's gone. You have her in your heart, your prayer. All of this comes back. It all comes flooding back, just as if it were August 24th, 1987. So once again, you're reliving it, and the anger is there. You initially go through stages, disbelief, anger, sadness. Then you somehow drag yourself out, and at least I did, through counseling and just going day by day and watching her children grow and being there to help my mother raise them. And it all floods back. And it's like, okay, here we go again, round two. And literally, that's the way I see it.
Well, now he's out.
Yeah.
He's out. As you either think about it or feel about it, either way, do you accept any validity to the notion that, given the criminal justice system and given the evidence, he should be out?
No, Mr. Siegel.
He should be in.
If I had my way, Mr. Peterson would be dead. At minimum, he would still be in Trenton State.
But the death penalty would be not too much for him as far as you're concerned.
Not at all. Not at all. Not too much at all.
Patricia Harrison is the picture of intelligence and discipline. She's a runner who doesn't carry an ounce of fat. She's made a good enough living in the catering business to afford a stylish suburban home with a luxurious cathedral ceiling. By the sheer dint of her anger and her reawakened grief, she is so persuasive as to make you doubt everything you have heard so far about Larry Peterson's innocence. The DNA tests for her could not disprove Peterson's guilt. And Robert Elder?
For whatever reason, he recanted his testimony. I can't change that. No one can. It's very sad because it was damning testimony. And we needed that. I hope that at some point one day, somewhere along the line, I mean, I don't know what it's going to do to the system and to this case, but he can perhaps try and put himself in my shoes. His conscience will come back to life. I know he's had quite a life, but he's still a human being, and the worst of criminals do at some point feel remorse, you know, and you know, say, "I'm sorry," or "I didn't mean it. How could I do that?" And hopefully Mr. Elder one day will look himself in the mirror and see Jackie and "I can't live with this anymore," or whatever it takes.
As far as you're concerned, he was telling the truth at trial the first time.
That's my belief.
And now he's not.
That's my belief.
The Burlington County Prosecutor's Office will not answer any of our questions about this case, despite our repeated requests in person, by telephone, and by mail. It is evident, both from their formal statement and also from the prosecutor's testimony in the state Senate, that deciding not to prosecute Peterson was a decision they reached very reluctantly. They achieved Peterson's conviction in 1989, they believed in it, and they comforted the Harrison family with their dogged defense of it. One of the detectives from the original case rose to be chief investigator. In May 2006, when the county prosecutor announced that he had dropped the case against Peterson, he framed his decision in the negative. There was not enough evidence to persuade a jury beyond a reasonable doubt. That left the question of Peterson's factual guilt open to argument.
I'm a happy brother standing before you here today, and you all look awful good to me. You heard?
Larry Peterson, meanwhile, had become a celebrity speaker for the Innocence Project and also against the death penalty.
I just want to encourage you to go on, man. Strive. Push hard.
He spoke to an Innocence Project class at New York City's Cardozo Law School. The Innocence Project got him the DNA tests that got him out of prison.
I tell you brothers and sisters that sit here today, it's a lot of innocent people that's in prison. But when you start questioning yourself... I was incarcerated for 18 years. If the state would have made the mistake of executing me...
He testified against capital punishment before a New Jersey state commission.
If you take a life, you can't turn around and correct the wrong. But if you place a man in prison for life and later find out that he's innocent, you can correct the wrong. How's everyone?
He addressed a rally on the steps of the United States Supreme Court.
But you know, I thank God, you know, that I'm here to share my story with you all this afternoon. First of all, I'd like to tell you a little about myself. I'm Larry Peterson. Originally, I'm from Georgia.
After that Washington rally, he ate lunch with a dozen other men whose convictions had been overturned thanks to DNA testing.
You know how the system can hinder you from having any job that's worthwhile.
As Peterson told one of the other men, Harold Wilson, he had quit the construction job he'd held not long after he'd started it.
Cass gave me a job, and at the time I'm saying, well, yeah, this is all right, private contractor. But they was feeding off of the opportunity to use someone because they know that the system was not going to hire me. So they would hire my employment for a lot less. But the work that you are doing is strenuous labor.
That was last June, and Larry Peterson has not had a steady job since. That day, when he and I talked in the park near his mother's home when he was still working construction, Larry Peterson was not a celebrity, just a man who had lost 17 years of his life in prison, a man who was tired of hard labor in the hot sun, and who was angry at the state that convicted him on bad science and a friend's lies.
I'm ready to go to war with this state. I got a bitter taste in my mouth about the state of New Jersey. You done did too much to me. How you doing,
Larry?
How are you?
Good seeing you. All
right, you all, so?
You made it okay?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Pretty good.
The man who will wage that war on Peterson's behalf is his lawyer, William Buckman, the same man who represented Robert Elder when he recanted. In April of this year, Peterson went to Buckman's office to sign some papers.
It's a release. I want to get a complete copy of your prison file.
Okay. The state is crazy. Today's the 12th.
Buckman is moving to have Peterson's record expunged. He's also suing for damages under federal civil rights law, and he's suing under the New Jersey law that compensates people who can prove in court by clear and convincing evidence that they were wrongly convicted and incarcerated.
I would predict that we are looking at somewhere between at least 2 and 3 years before Larry starts seeing some sort of compensation or validation of or attempt to make him whole for what he's going through.
The state law sets compensation at twice your income, or $20,000, whichever is greater, for every year you spent in prison.
It's no secret that Larry had fairly menial jobs before his conviction, but certainly even the $20,000 would go a long way to helping him rebuild his life.
Peterson would stand to get about $350,000, and that would be all his. Under state law, New Jersey would pay his lawyer's fee. A federal jury could award him more than that. Until those suits are resolved, Peterson is just a working stiff who's out of work. How have you been making ends meet?
Making ends meet is not ends or not meeting yet.
Right, right. But do you have any income now, or are you being supported?
Not at the present, no.
No. He says he'll go to school to learn to drive a truck and make the money he needs to move out of his mother's house and eventually buy into his dream, a chicken farm somewhere down south. As for the state that prosecuted him and now will oppose his claims for compensation, he claims he's philosophical.
I have my freedom now, and very shortly I have my independence as well. You know, so what they think or what they feel, that's on them, it's not on me.
Do you think they owe you?
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Why don't you sign that one as well?
Larry Peterson signed some of the documents his lawyer needs to argue that he was wrongfully imprisoned. The New Jersey law reads as if it's designed for a crime in which one person is convicted and then DNA implicates someone else.
Thank you.
In Peterson's case, someone else's DNA was found, but that Mr. X has not turned up in any state criminal database. The initial response to his suit against New Jersey? A boilerplate rejection from the state attorney general, whose office won't talk to us about the case either. It is very possible that Larry Peterson will be pushing 60 before he sees restitution, and there should be many more visits to Bill Buckman's office in his future.
All right, see you later. Take care. Right, Rob.
For now, he is in an ambiguous position. No one in authority can say that Larry Peterson raped or killed Jacqueline Harrison. No one can say any more that he is guilty of that crime. But no one in authority will say Larry Peterson did not commit that crime. No one will say that he is innocent. The burden of proof is on him.
Our story was produced by Julia Buckley, and a special thanks to WPVI TV6 in Philadelphia for tape from their archive. If you missed any of our series on Larry Peterson, you can download the stories at npr.org. There you can also find a timeline of this complicated case, as well as additional information about wrongful convictions in America. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.